Attorney Seth Grossman. Seth, thanks for taking time out of your evening and from the campaign trail to join us here on the primetime program.
Oh, it's good to be here, Dan, although it's been a very discouraging couple of days with that lawsuit.
What's going on? Yeah, go ahead. Take it from the top, Seth.
Well, what happened is we were allies. The county was claiming that the statute that gives the casinos a steady tax rate, basically, for the next 10 years, while everybody else gets increases based on increase in value, inflation, the government is spending more.
Right.
So if the casinos don't pay their same share of the increase as everybody else, then everybody else sort of gets a double increase. And we fought to stop it. The county fought to stop it. But the county also wanted something else. And what they wanted a bigger percentage of that smaller pot from the casinos.
Right.
Because if the county gets that bigger slice, then it doesn't matter if the casinos aren't paying their fair share. They're getting the extra shot, and everybody outside of Atlantic City benefits. You know, people in Margate, Hamilton, Egg Harbor Township, they come out ahead.
Yeah, but just for clarity, the small businesses and the resident property owners in Atlantic City would still continue to take it on the chin, would they not?
They get hammered.
Okay.
They get hammered because you have, as we pointed out, the casinos were paying half the taxes of Atlantic City. And now, instead of paying their share of the increases, even if two brand-new casinos come on board, the share paid by the casinos is basically the same $130 million that eight casinos were paying. 10 casinos will be sharing that same $130 million.
Right.
So you're not going to get the windfall of these other casinos coming online, neither Atlantic City or anybody else. And people keep forgetting that, you know, all those stores at the Walk, I want to name them, you know, the pro shop, the sporting goods store. You have 3,000 units of low-income housing. They don't pay any increases either. So that's only about 36-37% of properties in Atlantic City paying for all the increase. And we were not able to stop that. And so what happened was we have very limited resources. As you know, Liberty and Prosperity, we're just a bunch of a couple hundred people who get together for breakfast. We chip in dues. We do what we can. We keep informed. But we can't hire experts capable of assessing a casino, and you know, we don't have the Atlantic City assessor helping us. We don't have any industry helping us. We were hoping that others would join on board, but what has happened is Atlantic County, they made a compromise with the casinos with the state. So instead of getting their 13.5%, they're going to get about 12%. And the county's happy with that. They're making the deal. So now Liberty and Prosperity, we're all by ourselves.
Wow.
And we don't have the resources to go forward.
Wow.
So what we're going to do, we're going to have a meeting Saturday. As you know, we have a Saturday breakfast, 9:30 every Saturday at the Shore Diner. And the topic of conversation this particular Saturday is going to be, well, what do we do? Do we make the settlement? Do we join the county settlement? Do we just drop the case? Should we fight on? There's a lot of painful and difficult decisions we have to make.
Now, Seth, isn't there? It's just a tragedy, Seth. And what makes it worse? It's hard to fathom that Atlantic County would leave the resident property owners in Atlantic City and the small business owners out in the wind to fend for themselves under the circumstances that they're currently facing. That's almost incredible. But is there any? I mean, it's like they're being abandoned. I thought Atlantic City was part of Atlantic County. Is it not?
It is, but not when it comes to votes. You know, we don't have a lot of voting power, and frankly, it's shrinking. It's almost like a slow confiscation of the properties of the non-casino properties in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I think you might have some.
A typical example is you have the Chelsea Hotel can't make it, and one of the reasons it can't make it is because they can't afford the taxes. So what happens, you have the Tropicana gobbles up the Chelsea Hotel, and the minute that the Tropicana takes over the Chelsea Hotel, the Chelsea Hotel comes off the tax rolls.
Now,
so now you have fewer non-casino properties paying their share of Atlantic City taxes.
I want to ask you this. Do you think is it a possibility? I mean, I'm not real big on conspiracy theories, but has this environment been created so that the situation is untenable for property owners and they have to wave the white flag and get the heck out? I mean, what other explanation is there for this?
I don't think it's a deliberate thing. I think it's a convenient thing. But when you're short-sighted, the motto of New Jersey is liberty in prosperity. And liberty means you have the same rules apply equally to everybody. And when the same rules apply equally to everybody, you have prosperity, everybody can make a living, because whether you succeed or fail, where everybody is treated equally, depends on your talent, your work, and how well you run a business or how well you do your job.
Right.
Once you say that the government has the power to pick the winners and the losers by saying, if we like you, we'll give you low taxes. If we like you, we will give you government loans that you don't have to pay back. If we like you, we'll give you all these licenses and permits that no one else can get. But if we don't like you, you don't get a permit, you don't get a tax break, you can't borrow money, and inspectors will give you all sorts of violations, then, you know, people are not producing. People are spending more time trying to keep the politicians happy than in trying to serve their customers. And that's what we're running into in New Jersey.
I have a caller, Seth. Mark Padula would like to ask you a question. Are you up to taking a couple of questions?
Sure.
All right, let's get him on. Mark's in Atlantic City. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Klein. Hello, Seth.
Hi, Mark.
I'm a little discouraged by your news, but my question is, what happened to the argument that the county was making that the pilot program was unconstitutional? Is their argument still that it's still unconstitutional, even though they're going to get their 12%, or now that they've got their 12%, they're okay with it?
Well, basically, now that they got, they got in the case mainly because they were upset in not getting the 13.5% that Christie promised them. And the Christie's people only gave them 10.4%. And that came out to about $3 or $4 million of that casino pie, and that caused a whole lot of budget problems for the county. So the county said, you know, we're better off by having the casinos just taxed like every other property, assessed and taxed at the regular rate. And so they argued in court that was unconstitutional. To answer Mark's question is, now the county is saying, okay, we wanted 13.5%. You are giving us 10.4%. But if you give us 12%, we're happy with that, and we're going to dismiss the lawsuit. So they're getting out of the case, and that's leaving Liberty and Prosperity out there by ourselves. And this is a real, and here's where the real, I guess it really gets ugly. So now the state is telling us that, you know, right now, if you knock this thing out, if you knock out the special deal for the casinos, you know, Atlantic City, we're giving a lot of what they call transitional aid. We're funneling money from the CRDA tax. We're funneling money from the money we get from the income tax. And we're doing this because we want to keep this deal going for a while. But if you knock this thing out, we're going to yank all this money. They didn't say they were going to do it, but they said, you know, it's possible that the state might not give you that money. And if the state doesn't give you that money, the tax rate in Atlantic City is going to go go even higher, and everybody's going to blame you for it. So that's something else we have to consider.
Well,
we never seem to get anything right. I just can't understand it. I had a drone come to my house the other day, and they did an aerial shot around the house. I sent it to my brother who lives in Florida. He says to me, why is all the property along the boardwalk blight? He said, why is it all desolate? There's nothing there. He said, anywhere in the United States, that property would be worth a fortune. But here we are, some 40 years after casino gambling, and we still can't get it right. It's a shame. You know, it's a crying shame.
And you know exactly why. It's because if you put a $300,000 house there, you know exactly that the taxes are going to be, $20,000, $30,000 a year? So you can't get people to do that. The only way people build is if it's like low-income housing that doesn't pay taxes for 5, 10, or 15 years, And when you have a lot of housing like that, where people are sending their kids to school, and it costs each, in Atlantic City, I think it costs $27,000.
That's incredible.
In a public school system. So you have three kids in a house. It's costing the city, you know, like, you know, $75,000 just for the schools alone.
Yeah.
You could imagine the taxes it forces on everybody else.
That's $10,000 too much per student. Final thoughts, Seth, here. I have to ask this question on the pilot legislation. It's almost like a Hail Mary. Is there any national group out there that might be able to, whether it's, you know, the Institute for Justice or pro-national, pro-tax group, maybe what's the one that's, you know, there's a few of them. Is there any possibility that any of them might come to your aid?
Now, this actually goes back to why we formed Liberty and Prosperity 15 years ago in 2003.
Yeah.
Because I think you were actually there when we formed the organization.
I was.
And we didn't want to form an organization. We said, well, you know, we believe in the basic motto of New Jersey, where you have liberty, where everybody is treated the same under the law, where everybody pays the same taxes, where people, instead of, you know, rooting for, I want more from the government from my team, we want to have a group that would root for the referee, you know, to make sure that all the rules are followed equally to everybody.
Yeah.
And before we formed the organization, we spent about 3 or 4 months saying, well, there must be some other group in the country who's doing this, and we couldn't find anybody.
No.
So that's why we created libertyandprosperity.com, because nobody else wanted to do that.
And it's not really a Tea Party, but it was like a forerunner to the Tea Parties. I mean, obviously the Tea Parties came around in 2008 after the election of President Obama, but Liberty and Prosperity, as you know, goes back to 2003, and really was never intended to be a Tea Party. It was just committed to the ideals that you just outlined, Liberty and Prosperity.
Right, but to answer your question, when I was out there getting arrested in Middle Township for wanting to hand out flyers on a public sidewalk opposing Governor Corzine's plan to monetize the parkways by tripling the tolls and putting a second mortgage on every toll road in New Jersey, I thought for sure there'd be some group out there that would care about me getting arrested for doing that. But there was nobody, not the American Civil Liberties Union, not any of these groups. So what we learned is if we want to have something done, we've got to start it right here in New Jersey, because really nobody else really cares. And on this thing, it's a shame what's happening to the people of Atlantic City, because, you know, people say, well, I'm going to go down to Florida, I'm going to go to Tennessee, I'm going to go to North Carolina. But anyone who thinks they're running away from the problem by leaving the high taxes of Atlantic City or New Jersey is like someone going from the front of the Titanic to the back of the Titanic, thinking they're getting away from the seawater. So we have to, you know, make a stand and fight. And if we lose this battle, we just have to hope that we can learn from it, because politically, all it takes is winning the next election in next year for the assembly, and we could change these. In other words, the politicians made these laws,
right?
And if people cared enough about it, we could get rid of the bad laws. And it's really, you know, sometimes we bring these law cases, we don't really expect a lot from the court system, because the judges are appointed by the same people who made these bad laws.
And obviously, in this case, where we have special taxation for protected bodies within the city, according to the Constitution, taxation is supposed to be apportioned equally. And when you pull out people for selective benefits and protections and so forth and so on, it really is an easy decision for the judge. It's kind of a black and white issue, is it not, Seth? I mean, it's not really that complicated. It's pretty much there for all to see. And yet, there's a pretty good possibility he's going to go against the Constitution.
Yeah, and part of the reason, of course, is normally, if you have a group of people in a city who are being picked on or being discriminated against taxes, you would expect the elected officials of that city to stand up for their own voters.
I don't hear anything.
Taxpayers. But here with Atlantic City, it's so screwed up that the state has taken over Atlantic City. so that people don't even have a government they could turn to. And then when they do get elected officials who want to stand up, you have these state officials saying, well, if you just keep quiet for now and let this thing go through, we'll find an extra $5 million here or $10 million here, so we won't give you, you won't have a tax increase this year if you go along with us. And so the officials are in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. Because if they defy the state officials,
right,
the state officials will yank this discretionary aid, and the taxes go up, and the elected officials get voted out of office. But if the elected officials go along with this dirty deal, the state will give money to them for maybe 1 or 2 years. And then once the thing is set in stone, the state's going to say, okay, we can't give you any of this money this year. You're stuck.
Let me ask you.
And then the people say, well, we want to get rid of it. Oh, no, the time for getting rid of it is long gone. You know, so that's the problem we have. We have a really, really messed up system here in New Jersey.
Is it possible, Seth, one more question before we move on to the campaign. Is it possible, and is it within the judge's purview, I think is also a part of this question. Could the judge come back and say, you know what, this whole thing is unnecessary. I'm ordering a reval of the whole. Could the judge order a reval? I mean, because at the end of the day, if that were done, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, would we?
Yeah, but no, the judge is not equipped to do that.
Okay.
In other words, you have an official.
I'm grasping at straws.
Called the city tax assessor, and to assess a casino takes a lot of expertise and a lot of data. And basically, we don't even have any idea. And by the way, this is one of the main reasons why it may be impossible for us to continue the case. I have no idea how much a casino is worth because the casinos have not been assessed for 2 years.
But
so all the data is outdated.
No, but so we do know. We do know. MGM bought half of Borgata for $900 million.
Right, and so what they say is, oh no no, the casino was only sold for $100 million. It was the customer list we sold for the other $800 million.
Uh-huh.
In other words, when you analyze where these numbers come from, unless you were an expert assessor and understand the industry, I can't do it. You can't do it. The judge can't do it. And if the city tax assessor is unwilling to do it, and nobody's willing to do it, well, nobody knows, and the judge. And I think that was the main reason the judge didn't want to make a decision on this, because he had no idea. He said, if I pull the plug and get rid of the payment in lieu of taxes, how much will these casinos end up paying, and what effect will that have on a tax structure?
Well, yeah,
and nobody had any clue.
Yeah, but Seth, now that you're bringing this up, you're raising a whole hornet's nest of questions. For all those years, Atlantic City, I'm friends with one of the kid that I grew up with whose father was an assessor in Atlantic City. And for all those years, they assessed the casinos. They didn't have any problems. This is only a recent phenomenon, let's say, since 2008, 2007, maybe a year before that.
Now, there's a very simple explanation. I hope I have time to say it.
Go ahead.
In other words, when the casinos were first built, they were in such a hurry to get open. Remember when resorts opened up, they were pulling in money hand over fist.
Absolutely.
And then you had Bally's in construction stage, and you had
Caesars.
Caesars is in construction, and they were building those casinos so fast that they would build whole sections of the casino before the plans were ready. And then the plans would come in, and they found out that the thing was done wrong, so they'd tear up what they just built and then rebuild it all over again. I was just talking to an engineer who told me that I think Ferriazzi put more concrete into the Bally Foundation that you could probably put the Empire State Building on top of it, because they had no idea how much building it would have to support. So by doing what they call fast-track construction, the casinos spent maybe 3 or 4 times more to build the buildings
okay.
than they were actually worth. So what the assessor did for years and years,
he wrote off,
assess the casinos based on their construction cost, even though they were inflated, because the casino could not deny that they spent that much money to get the casino built. So until you had casinos going broke and you had empty casinos for sale, you know, such as the Trump Plaza and such as some of the other ones, you didn't have any measurement to figure out how much an empty casino building was worth. And as soon as that started to happen, you had the Sands Casino, then that put it into free fall, the casino assessments became difficult.
And so what you're saying now to unravel this web, you would need like a forensic assessor in order to accurately...
That's right. You can't go by construction costs because nothing's been built in a long time. Let me just give you the website. Again, I'm not with libertyandprosperity.com because I am running for political office. That's a non-political position. The only reason I'm sort of tangled up with libertyandprosperity.com right now is because I was the lawyer, or I am the lawyer, in that case that we have to deal with the casino tax break.
Right.
But if you want to know more about my campaign, go to grossmanforcongress.com.
I just wanted to not question Mr. Grossman, but just question what he said about not figuring out a tax bracket. The Borgata was built 12 years ago. Tropicana just sold. Obviously, any contractor knows that there's been a certain percentage growth in material over the past 12 years. So just keep it simple. Whatever it costs to build a Borgata, you know, time and material, whatever it was, there's your math, there's your formula there for at least the bones of it. And the same thing with Tropicana.
I know there's a framework, and in fact, you had a case that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. So everybody knows the method of how to do it. But it's not something that, you know, I could do in my spare time, you know, when I'm, after dinner, I'm going to spend 3 hours and I'm going to assess the value of a casino. You need paid professionals, and the city, which is now taken over by the state, is unwilling to spend that kind of money to do that.
We understand that, and we know you're an AC guy through and throughout. We as taxpayers have a tax assessor. That's their job. So if that person's got to stay back and do their job, guess what? That's what you signed up for. If you don't like it, go find someplace else to work, because there's going to be somebody else out there that knows how to do it, that will appreciate the pay and the fringe benefits that you get doing that job.
Right now, the guy running Atlantic City, I think, has 26 days left for the end of his contract, and then we don't know. He's the guy who took over the state, Jeff Chiesa.
Right.
So to be continued, again, grossmanforcongress.com. libertyandprosperity.com. It's on the web. It's on Facebook. And hopefully you can find that information there.
Seth, thanks for getting in. Appreciate all the information. And believe it or not, Seth, there's a lot of people out there that appreciate what you do on their behalf. And hopefully they're listening to this message and they'll go online and go to Grossman for Congress or Liberty and Prosperity, either one, and check out what's going on. Seth, thanks for getting in.